Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today. As we continue our study of spiritual warfare, and we are moving to a second strategy of the enemy, we have seen his strategy to build strongholds in the lives of God's children. And now we're going to see a second strategy. An amazing thing about Satan is he has not changed his tactics in all of these years. But then again, I guess it's not that amazing because he's been so successful with them, why change them? You know, if it's not broken, you don't fix it. But what you and I are going to do in these next weeks is we're going to, as we discover his strategy, we will see what God has given us as our defense against this strategy. And then by the power of God, I trust you will be victorious in this area of your life when Satan tries his strategy with you. And he will. You can be certain. Having found your place in Genesis 3, just put your finger there because there are a few passages we want to look at before we arrive there. First one's over in John 8:44. We can tell much about God by His names in Scripture. His names reveal a great deal about Him. Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. Yahweh Jireh. And all the names El Shaddai, El Elyon, God Most High. And we can learn much about God from His names. Well, we can also learn much about Satan from his names in Scripture. And tonight we're going to see him as the deceiver, as that serpent. In John chapter 8, verse 44, we have our own Lord speaking about Satan. And he says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now, when you and I speak a lie, you are becoming and acting like a person who is a part of Satan's family. He becomes, at that point, the father of your lies, and you're acting, though you're a Christian, you're not a part of his family, you're acting like you are when you lie. Also, look in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, verse 9. Revelation 12, 9, we see some more names for Satan. "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Satan, the deceiver, that serpent of old, with his craftiness, with his guile, with his trickery. Now look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. Paul says, "But I am afraid lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Again, Satan, that deceiving serpent, and his craftiness and his trickery. Let's pray. Father, we come before you as our Heavenly Father this evening. We ask you through the blood of the Lord Jesus, that precious blood that was shed for our sins, through the word that was spoken and now written, that word which is spirit and life, through the order you established from the foundation of the world, that you would drive away all rulers and powers and all world forces of this darkness, and all spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places that would seek in any way to hinder the work of your spirit in our lives this time, that would seek to hinder your message from finding its proper place in our spirit and heart, that would cloud our minds and distract us from hearing your truth tonight, and that you would drive these through waterless places to the pit, and that you would hold them there through the authority of your hand and slain by the sword of the word and rendered powerless through the blood of the Lamb. That your spirit would shine forth in our presence this night with revealing truth. That your word would be used to encourage and to exhort and to admonish and to convict and to have its perfect work as your spirit takes it and ministers it into our lives. That you might be glorified and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the name of Satan that we're looking at tonight is the deceiver, the serpent. The person we're going to be seeing that Satan used this particular strategy against is Eve. The scripture is over in Genesis chapter 3. And you flip over there since your finger's already there. And we'll kind of be camping out in Genesis 3 tonight. Now, as the deceiver, what is Satan's target? His target is your mind. Remember 2 Corinthians, the passage we just read? It said that, beware lest Satan the deceiver do like he did to Eve through his craftiness and your minds be led astray. When Satan wanted to tempt the first man and woman into sin, he came to the woman and he attacked her mind. He attacked her mind. You remember last week we saw that God's will is that our mind fill with His thoughts, plus our will surrendered to His Lordship equals our righteous actions. Remember that? Well, Satan knows that's God's plan. Satan knows if he can take our thoughts, and rather than our thoughts being filled with God's thoughts, he can replace it with His thoughts, then guess what? Even though our will is submitted to the Lordship of Christ, our actions will not be righteous actions. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can surrender all day to the Lordship of Jesus and then with all sincerity in your heart say, I just want to obey you, God. I just want to do what you want me to do. But if you are deceived in your mind about what God wants you to do, then you'll be living in unrighteousness, not righteousness. Satan knows that. And so one of his strategies is to come and attack our mind as he attacked the mind of Eve. Because he knows that wrong thinking will lead to wrong living. Romans 8:6 says, the mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the spirit is life and peace. I'm afraid many Christians have strongholds of satanic lies in their mind. For instance, lies about God's Word. And the part of the deception is they don't realize that they're duped. You know, once you realize you're deceived, you're not deceived anymore. The very definition of deception is you don't realize it. And yet there are Christians that have lies of Satan in their mind concerning the Word of God. I've talked to people who say to me, well, you know, preacher, that's just Paul saying that. That's just what Paul thinks when you read one of Paul's letters. You know, preacher, I believe the words of Jesus. You know, those ones that are read. Those are the ones that are really the Word of God. Oh, now that's God's Word, not those little words of Paul. That's just a man's opinion. Now, is that a lie or is that truth? That's a lie. But yet there are Christian people who have been deceived by Satan into thinking that. Thinking that the Old Testament is more inspired than the New Testament. There are people who have deceived thoughts about God's love. They think that God loves us on a performance basis, right? And therefore, if you perform right, if you're good enough, then you can feel good about your relationship to God and you can feel like God loves you. But if you're not performing like you think you ought to, then you have doubts that God really loves you. And you know, people that used to think that never quite perform good enough. They set such a high standard, they never quite make it. And they're always thinking, man, God just doesn't really love me because I'm just not lovable. And so they have this a deceived notion about the love of God toward His children. So we saw this morning, God's love is not based on performance. God accepts you in the Beloved. He accepts you in Jesus. It's based on Jesus' performance. And He did it all. Amen? He performed 100% perfectly. And God loves you in Christ. But there are people walking around feeling guilty, feeling estranged from God because they have a lie in their minds, as Satan's place there, about the love of God. God's forgiveness. There are Christians that have lies in their minds about God's forgiveness. They think, man, if I don't confess this sin, it's not forgiven. And if I die and there's any sin I hadn't confessed, when I die, I won't go to heaven. I've heard folks say that. They've said that to me. I said, now, wait a minute. Are you telling me that if you were to die before you had a chance to confess a sin, that means you wouldn't go to heaven? Oh, yeah, that's right. Now, is that true or is that a lie? It's a lie, isn't it? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I mean, Jesus has already forgiven us of every sin we're going to ever commit. Amen? You think confession tells God something He doesn't know? It's for your benefit you confess, not for His. But there are Christians walking around with this notion. Eternal security, perseverance of the saints. People think, man, oh, you can lose that salvation. If you don't walk just right, you can lose it. If you make a wrong step, you can lose it. Well, if you lost it, you never had it. Now, I agree there are some folks that say they have it that don't have it. And those are the ones that walk away from it. 1 John says they left us because they were not of us. And because they were not of us, they went out from us. Folks, you don't get unborn. You can't get unborn physically. You can't get unborn spiritually. God does not place somebody in His family and then exclude them, excommunicate them. If you've ever really been born again, it will show forth in your life and you'll persevere to the end. But people have lies about that and they're walking constantly in insecurity in their walk with the Lord, fearful, fretful. So Satan desires to attack our mind and his weapon is lies. His weapons are the lies that he wants to put in our mind. Now, Satan came to Eve and sought to lead her to believe his lie over God's truth. Now, God's truth is given over in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now, God did not give this command to Eve. He gave it to Adam. And it was Adam's responsibility to give it to Eve. I think that is one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons Satan came to Eve. Because she didn't get it firsthand. She got it from Adam. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Now that is God's truth, plain and simple. But notice the steps that Satan took to get Eve to believe his lie over God's truth. The first thing he did was Satan questioned God's word. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said? Of course God has said. We just read where God said it. So why you even question if God has said it or not? You think Satan didn't know that God had said it? He knew it. He knew it all along. So he wanted Eve to question whether God had said that or not. And he does the same thing to us. He comes to us and says, are you sure that the Bible is really God's Word? I mean, it's put together over so many thousands of years and so many different guys were writing in it and they were just people like us. So how can you say that's God's Word? Man wrote it. Are you sure that that's what God really means? Satan ever do that to you? I mean, you read something in the Scripture and boy, it just convicts you about something in your life. And then Satan says, Are you sure that's what it really means? And so you start pulling off all the other translations and trying to find a translation that doesn't quite say it that hard, right? So you can say, well, it doesn't mean that after all. I don't have to stop. So he wants you to question God's Word. Have you really understood what God said? And then he moves to questioning God's character. He questions God's character. Notice what he says. You shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Now that's not what God was after at all. Notice the negative slant to the question. Has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Now, a positive approach would have been, has God said you can eat from all these trees? That's positive. Negative says, has God said there's any tree you can't eat from? You see what Satan was doing? He was attacking the character of God. He wanted Eve to question God's goodness. Is God holding back something from you? Is there any tree in this garden that God's holding back from you, Eve? That God's not letting you eat? He is stressing the negative, not all the trees they could eat from. He wanted to center in on the one thing God said they were not to do. He wanted to question God's goodness. He wants Eve to see God's Word as prohibitive, holding her back. Oh, you mean there's something God said you can't do? You mean God has prohibited you from doing something? Begin to question God's goodness. You know, if God were a good God, Eve, He would not keep something from you. But He is. Is there any tree you can't eat from? Now, you and I know now why God put that prohibition. Why God said you should not eat from that tree. Was God trying to hurt them? Was He trying to do something against them? Or was it for their good? For their benefit? You know it, for their benefit, right? But Satan does the same thing today. He comes to us, and he'll take something that God has said we're not to do, and he wants us to see it as being against us, that God just doesn't want you to enjoy life, or God just doesn't want you to have a good time, or God's just against you, so God's told you you can't do it. When God says, I shall not commit adultery, some people think, oh man, God just doesn't want you to have fun. God just wants to just keep you from having a good time. Now, we know that's not true. But you'd be surprised how many people believe that that's just something God doesn't want you to have a good time, and so He just put that in there. Like when a parent gives a rule to a child, the child just says, man, you just don't want me to have fun, do you? No, the parent simply wants to protect the child, right? And so if Satan can make you see God's Word as prohibitive, as bad, rather than for your good, he's taken a major step to get you to believe His lie over God's truth. God says in His Word that it's not His desire for women to exercise leadership in the church over men. Now, what does Satan do? He comes to women and say, boy, you see that? Man, God's just trying to put you down, or they're just trying to put you down in that church. Has God really said that? No, God doesn't mean that. You don't understand what God's really saying here. Well, that's just back for those days. That's not for today. And Satan wants it to look prohibitive. He wants it to look like it's something bad and negative against you. But it's God saying, hey, this is my way of protecting you. This is for your good that I'm doing it this way. But you see, if Satan wants to make it look negative, submit to my husband, no way. Make it look like a bad thing. But God means it for a good thing. So he questioned God's character. Thirdly, he denies God's Word outright. Look in verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. Now what did God say? God said, the day you eat from it, you shall surely die. Satan says, no, you are not going to die. You see, it's just a short step from questioning God's Word to questioning God's character to denying His Word. It starts with the questioning, then it moves to, well, I guess God really wouldn't say that, would He? That wouldn't be good for God to say that. Well, God wouldn't mean that. And then you change it around, and it's denial of what God says. Now what? And then Satan comes fourthly and he substitutes his own lie for the truth of God. Look at verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan says, man, you won't not only die, you'll be like God. Now they were already created in the image of God. But Satan said, hey, you'll be like God. Now, this was a half-truth because they did become like God in that they knew good and evil. Look at verse 22. But that's not what Satan meant, and that's not what they understood. They understood it meant, we're going to be great. We're going to be much better than we are. We're going to be better off, not worse off. We're going to be like God. And wasn't that Satan's desire? Wasn't that his sin of pride? He wanted to be like God. And now he comes to Eve and he says, hey, you're not going to die. You will be like God. Now, you know what disturbs me? Is that today Satan doesn't even have to go through these first four steps. All he has to do is to substitute his lie, and most Christians believe it. Why? Because they're not grounded in the Word enough. Satan puts out his lie, well, you know, if you are really born again Christian, you'll speak in tongues. And people just believe it. They don't search the Scripture. They say, well, the preacher said it, and he ought to know what he's talking about, so I believe it. Or, you know, if you're really going to get what God wants you to have, you've got to be baptized in the Spirit. And as a second blessing out there, you've got to get baptized in the Spirit. And people just believe it. You know, the Bible nowhere, not one place, not one time, commands any Christian to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, if it was so important, then wouldn't the Bible command it somewhere? It does say be filled with the Spirit. Because you're baptized in the Spirit when you're born again, when you're saved. But people just accept it without even looking to the Word to see what it says. Or they say, man, you know, you are not spiritually mature if you don't speak in tongues. I've heard that one. You know, there are levels of sanctification, and when you really reach the higher levels, you'll begin to speak in tongues. Now, that's not biblical. In fact, Paul said the greater gifts were love, right? Now, I'm not against the gift of speaking in tongues. I think it is a valid gift if it's exercised properly, that there's a place for it. But I am against the teaching that says, hey, you're not a Christian or you haven't reached a certain spiritual level of maturity if you don't do it. It is a gift. And the very definition of a gift is you don't earn it or deserve it, right? I mean, if it were called spiritual wages, then you might earn it. But it's a gift. And so when the Spirit of God gives it as He so desires, when people just accept these teachings. You know, the idea that, again, if you believe hard enough and you confess it, you can have it. And you'd be surprised how many people have swallowed that because they are not rooted in the Scriptures. The idea that God will heal everybody at all times. If you just have enough faith, you can and will be healed, and God wants everybody to be healed. Again, for some reason, Christians just soak it up. You know, a few verses are tacked onto it, and they say, yeah, man, that's right. That's what God says. So it disturbs me. Satan doesn't even have to go through the first four steps most of the time. He just substitutes his lie and puts it in religious terms, and folks believe it. Now, Eve made three mistakes that led her into sin. Let's look at those. Because you and I, if we'd make these same mistakes, it'll lead us into sin. First, she took away from God's Word. She took away from it. Look in verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. She left something out. Look over in chapter 2, verse 16, and see which word she left out. You see the word she left out? In 2:16? Compare that with chapter 3, verse 2. Rodney, you see the word she left out? You got New American Standard over there? Well, it may not come out in NIV. What does your NIV say in verse 2? Chapter 3, verse 2. Okay, what does it say over in 2:16? All right. The word freely is left out. New American Standard makes it clear. She left out freely. Now, why would she leave out freely? Why would she say, well, God has said, you shall, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. Why did she leave out freely? She was picking up on Satan's negative when he said, is there any tree you can't eat from? She didn't express the goodness of God by saying, oh yeah, man, God has said we can eat from these trees freely. She took away from the Word of God. And in so doing, she was subtly biting into Satan's hint that God was holding something back from her. Now, when we begin to question God's goodness, it's much easier to disobey His will. And we are guilty of taking away from the Word of God. Some of the husbands that were here this morning went home and thought to themselves, man, I can't do this. There's no way I can live without getting irritated with my wife. I just can't do it. And what does the Bible say? I can do all things. Not some things. Not even most things. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we take away from God's Word and say, well, that really just means most things or some things. Or Romans 8:28, which God says, God causes all things to work together for good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. We take away from that and say, well, He just means some things. He doesn't mean all things. Surely not, not all, not this. Not what is going to happen to me right now. No way can God bring good out of this. And we take away from the Word of God. Next thing she did, she not only took away from God's Word, she added to God's Word. Look in verse 3. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it. Did God say anything about touching? No. She added that. You see, what we tend to do is to make God's commands grievous rather than gracious. The Pharisees did this. They took the commands of God and they added to them and just made them a burden. And we tend to do this today. We take God's Word and we go beyond what Scripture said. We add to it and make it grievous. And then thirdly, she changed God's Word. Last part of verse 3. Lest you die. Now, that's not what God said. He didn't say, lest you die. What did God say? Look at verse 17, chapter 2. God said, in that day you shall surely die. Now, which sounds stronger to you? Lest you die or in that day you shall surely die? She was cutting off the sharp edge of God's Word, see? Making it not quite as harsh. She made the penalty for disobedience seem less harsh. And if we're not careful, we tend to change God's Word by shaving off the sharp edge so it won't be so abrasive to people. And that's just one step closer toward denying the very Word of God itself. You saw in the Christian Index, or maybe you read in the paper, that the Southern Baptist Convention excommunicated, although that's not a term of use, those two churches in North Carolina that had openly ordained the homosexual pastor and was going to have a wedding between homosexuals. Now, if you're like me, you probably thought, how in the world did a church ever get to that place, preacher? How did they ever come to the place that they would openly ordain a man who was a practicing homosexual and recognize two men coming together to be married and perform the service in the church and say God was blessing it? How could they come to that place? Well, look at these steps. That's how they came to it. Exactly how they came to it. They begin to question, first of all, has God really said that? You know, that's old Paul. And, you know, Paul just was just kind of a bigot. You know, he was against women and he was against homosexuals. That was just Paul's word. So they began to deny, question if it was God's word. And then they begin to question God's character. Say, oh, no, that wouldn't be loving of God to tell two people that they couldn't be married just because they're of the same sex. I mean, God is a God of love. And so God would never do that. Forget about His holiness. Forget about His righteousness. Just God would never do anything like that. And then they outright deny God's word and say, God just didn't say that. Nuh-uh, that's not what God said at all. That was simply Paul. And then they substitute their lie, which is Satan's lie, and they like to quote the verse that in Christ has neither male nor female. So if there's neither male nor female, then there's no problem with two males getting married, right? It ought to be all right in God's sight. Until they went down the process, Satan just used this strategy and deceived their minds into believing his lie apart from the truth of God. Now, if you haven't written anything else down tonight, write this down. This is a key truth. If you just come away remembering this, you will have benefited. Now, Satan merely permitted Eve to consider that fruit apart from the truth of God. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted her to look at that fruit apart from the truth of God. He wanted her to consider that fruit and in so doing, not consider the truth of God about it. That's all he wanted. And that's what he wants in your life. Either through ignorance of God's word or through his deceptive lies, he wants you to consider your life and divorce it from the word of God. He wants you to look at your marriage and divorce it from God's word. He wants you to look at your role as a husband and divorce it from what God says about a husband. Your role as a wife and divorce it from what God says a wife ought to be. And I've seen Christian couples who come to the place and say, hey, we're just through with each other, we're going to divorce. And you say, well, what are the grounds? Well, we just don't get along. Well, now, wait a minute. I don't see where that's a biblical ground here. Well, we just, you know, and they start trying to explain away. They don't want to consider what the Word of God says. All Satan wants you to do is to look at your life apart from the truth of God's Word. He wants you to look at your parenting apart from God's truth. He wants you to look at your finances and divorce God's truth from your finances. He wants you to look at your job and divorce the truth of God from your job and what God's Word says about it. If he can get you in any area of your life to not consider the truth of God and how it comes to bear upon that area, he's got you where he wants you. Because then he can slip in his deceptions on you and you're sunk. He can out-rationalize, out-reason you any day of the week. And he simply wanted Eve to look at that fruit and divorce it from the truth of God. And he did that. And now she looks at the fruit in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was delight to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate it. Once she looked at that fruit, apart from the truth of God, she had to make a choice. Was she going to believe what God said about it or what Satan said about it? And Satan had so worked in her life that she had so diluted the truth of God that she had nothing to stand on any longer. Her foundation was gone. And she accepted the lie of Satan. She'd so watered down and so changed and diluted the truth of God that she didn't have a leg to stand on. So God's target is your mind. His weapons are Satan's target is your mind. His weapons are his lies. Now what is his purpose? His purpose is to make you ignorant of God's Word. He wants to make you ignorant of God's Word. Satan's attacks God's Word because it reveals the will of God. He knows if he can make you ignorant of God's will, he's got you. What does the psalmist say? I hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If he can make you ignorant of the word of God, then you don't know what God's will is. You can be surrendered all day and say, yes, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but if you don't know what he wants you to do, what good is it? Satan just leads you into deception. And all the time you'll think you're serving God and you're serving Satan because you have hooked into his lie over the truth of God. You see, the will of God is expressed in the Word of God. Apart from the Word of God, we don't know what the will of God is. Man, that urge, that feeling you had might just be that pizza you had for lunch. It may be indigestion. You can't say, well, I believe God wants me to do that because, man, I just had this feeling right here. We don't know the will of God apart from the Word of God. And God's will is that personal plan He has for each of His children. He wants you to know His will. Acts 22:14 says, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know His will. You can know it. He wants you to understand it. Ephesians 5:17. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You can understand His will. And He wants you to be filled and controlled by the will of God. Colossians 1:9. We've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the result will be a Christian doing God's will from the heart and enjoying a life of peace and fulfillment. But if Satan can make you ignorant of God's will, he'll rob you of many of the glorious blessings that God has planned for your life. You'll make bad decisions. You'll build the wrong kind of life. You'll build on the sand. And you'll lose the enjoyment of God's peace and power in your life. Satan wants and seeks to lead you to see your life apart from the Word of God. That's all he wants. You just to look at your life and divorce it from the truth of God's Word. Now, what is your defense? Your defense is the inspired Word of God. The only Word is the Word of God that can reveal and defeat Satan's lies. Satan is a father of lies. A lie is darkness. The only way to get rid of darkness is light. This room can be pitch black dark, and this church is the darkest church I've ever been in my life when the light's out. Man, there's just no windows in this church, is it? I mean, it's dark. But what to dispel that darkness? Flip of a switch, light. Light. Darkness is the absence of light. Satan's lies are darkness. The only way to dispel that darkness is the truth of God. We can't reason with the enemy. He is too crafty. He's been around too long. You know what Jesus did when he was tempted? What did he do? He quoted Scripture. Jesus quoted the Word of God. Now, if my Lord combated Satan's temptations against him with the Word of God, should I do any differently? That says to me the best defense against the temptation, against the lies of Satan. And that's all he was doing was lying to Jesus. And one of these days we can look at those. They were just lies. But Jesus came back, but God says. We must come against the lie of Satan with the truth of God's Word. You know what Eve should have done when Satan came to her? She should have just quoted the Word of God to him. I mean, look in verse 1, chapter 3. When Satan said, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? She should have just said, God said, from any tree of the garden we may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil we shall not eat, for in the day that we eat of it, we shall surely die. She should have just quoted God's Word back to him. Just quoted it word for word. When Satan came to her in verse 4, and he said, you shall surely not die, she should have said, that's what you say, Satan, but God says, in the day we eat of it, we shall surely die. Just quoted God's Word. That's what she should have done. And again, when he comes to her in verse 5, and he says to her, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. She should have just said, and God says, in the day we eat of it, we shall surely die. Now, devil, you can say what you want, but that's what God said. You see, when you start trying to reason with the devil, trying to outsmart him, you're sunk. You're sunk. You just go back to the Word of God and say, devil, I don't care what you say, God says this, and you quote the Scripture to him and be done with it. And if he tries to come back, just say, God says this. Be done with it. I'll tell you something else, lady. Eve would have been better off. The best thing she could do is just quote Scripture. But the next best thing she could have done is said, devil, go talk to my husband. God told him, not me. Now you just go talk to him about it. Right? Because you see, Adam was not deceived. He just rebelled. He just outright rebelled against God. That shows you the power a woman can have in a man's life, doesn't it? I mean, it took, you know how many verses it took Eve? I mean, it took Satan to get Eve to sin? Man, it didn't even take a half a verse for Eve to get Adam to go along. She should have just said, go talk to my husband, God talk to him. And I hope Adam would have told the truth and just said what God said. But the best thing she could do is just say, hey, God's Word says this. That means Satan comes and attacks you, ladies. If you don't know what the Word of God says to it, you go to your husband and say, honey, Satan's attacking me now. Find me a Scripture. Find me a Scripture. You're the spiritual head of this home now. Do your job. Find me a Scripture that I can go back to the enemy with. And you pray for me. And men, you got a responsibility to go to the Word and find one that will fight against that temptation. And you share it with your wife and you pray for her. And ladies, you got the Word right there. And that's God's way. If more of that was being done, there'd be less deception in our homes and our churches. Amen or amen? All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, hear this, brother. He's preaching to you. All right. Now, what does this mean? This means that we must first know God's Word. And the Holy Spirit will teach it to you. We must know the Word of God. How can we be a people that stands against the lies of the enemy if we don't know the truth of God? Secondly, we need to memorize the Word of God. Hide that Word in my heart. There are going to be times Satan's going to tempt you. You're not going to have your Bible handy. You're going to need to be able to come from memory. And if you've memorized it, the Holy Spirit can bring it in and bring it up. Thirdly, we must meditate on God's Word. Remember what God told Joshua? To meditate on the Word day and night, turn neither to the left nor to the right. He shall be prosperous in all that he does. Meditate on the Word of God. Fourthly, we must use God's Word. When temptation comes, you seek the Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind the Scripture to bear. And we must have a grasp of all of Scripture. You see, Satan uses verses out of context. He did that when he tempted Jesus. So he may come to you and tempt you with a verse, and you've got to know the whole counsel of God that you might be able to say, yes, and God says this, and this, and this, and this. Know what the Word of God says. Have a good grasp of it. Now let's take an inventory for a moment. Satan, as the deceiver, wants to target your mind. His weapons are his lies. He wants to supplant the truth of God for his lie in your mind. He wants you to be ignorant of the will of God. Because if you don't know God's will, how will you do it? And then our weapon that God has provided against this strategy of Satan is the Word of God, the truth of God. Now let's take an inventory. Are you spending time daily reading, and studying, and meditating on God's Word? Do you systematically seek to memorize Scripture? Do you find yourself automatically thinking about Bible verses when you're tempted and facing a decision? Do you say, well, what does God say about it? Or do you try to come up with what you think it ought to be? I mean, your first response to any question ought to be, well, what does God say? Right? I mean, anything ought to be, well, what does God say? What's the will of God here? And where do you go? Go to the Word of God. Or go to your husband and say, honey, I got a question. You need to seek the Lord with me about this thing. And find out the will of God. And then move. Are there any lies in your mind right now? You're believing over the truth of God?